We need a new intro.
Yeah, we do.
So we already have an intro. Why the fuck do we do that? Why don't we just start talking like normal people?
It is tradition.
Well, there's a lot of traditions in this world that stood true for hundreds and thousands of years, and then we learned later on that they probably weren't the best, so...
Shut the fuck up, man. God damn. Just trying to say hi.
At this point, they just need to rename all of their new stuff, you know, Star Trek and the Quest for More Money, you know?
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Trek Talk. Thank you all for joining us. I'm TechMan16.
We need a new intro.
Yeah, we do.
We do have a new intro if you listen to the fucking podcast.
Oh, that's right.
Are they doing it on all the new ones?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Never mind. So we already have an intro. Why the fuck do we do that? Why don't we just start talking like normal people? You've been replaced, Tech.
It's been fucking tradition, man. Holy shit.
It is tradition.
Well, there's a lot of traditions in this world that stood true for hundreds and thousands of years, and then we learned later on that they probably weren't the best, so...
Shut the fuck up, man. God damn. Just trying to say hi, and you're fucking going off on all this tangential shit. We're here to talk about fucking Star Trek, and then we go off into other tangents.
No.
Because we all have ADD, or at least me and...
You and fucking Kirk, Andy. Guys have fucking ADHD to the max.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why people listen to it.
I think it's been well documented in previous episodes how fucking tangential both of you are.
SK's a little worse sometimes, though.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty bad.
It came out specifically with the episode with Cook. Actually, I miss Cook. We should get him back here. To the show.
Yeah, Cook's good fun.
Cook's restaurant is closing down, which kind of sucks.
It's probably good for him, though, because he was miserable.
Now he can focus all of his efforts on his OnlyFans account.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I like that. Anyways. Star Trek Fleet Command. Who was it? Was it Putz or was it Duke that brought up?
It was me.
What's up, man? How you doing this morning?
Oh, doing all right.
Do you have them, by the way? Do you have all the officers?
I only have two of them unlocked. The Wayun, and the Breen. The Jem'Hadar one hasn't unlocked yet.
On God, what is he? You're right. He's the Breen officer. I actually unlocked him too, and I try to use him in PvP, and I had to discard him because he's just like his captain's ability, really nice, but so low.
You gotta have synergy for sure.
Well, I mean, you don't even want to use. I mean, you got to level him up all the way for him to be actually useful, because like. You know, he's got a 10% chance at the start of combat to delay opponent's weapons for 3 rounds while fighting players if on an explorer. 10% chance.
Yeah, that's pretty low.
That's nil.
Even with synergy, you still don't want to use him because, like, your explorers, you could use much better officers on explorers.
I mean, I could see him. I could see his ability reducing the crit chance. Right. I can see that.
So his officer ability, pawn decreases opponent's player's critical chance by 52% at the start of each round for 3 rounds on an explorer with morale.
So now you have to have morale as well.
Right, right. So you need a morale officer, right, which Wayun provides. You know, 52% chance to reduce a player's critical chance. I mean, it's not like you're reducing damage. You're just reducing... extra damage, which sucks.
But when you talk about crit, because is it crit chance or damage?
Chance.
But a lot of the interceptor officers or the whole breach officers, they rely on criticals to activate a multitude of other abilities. So if you do get the crits down, then a lot of times, you know, depending upon your setup, you can sort of nullify. They're a lot of those officers, and you can just take that out of the mix.
You're trying to reduce hull breach, I guess. That's so, Duke. Have you tested them yet? They work in PvP all that well?
I have not tried them, no.
All right, so let's talk about Wayun here for a sec.
We need to get Boom in here. He's probably bought it.
Well, yeah, I'm sure.
He has.
So let's take a look at Wayun for a sec. Wayun has a 20% chance to apply morale for 8 rounds on combat start when fighting against players if on an explorer. Whoever wrote this, by the way, English is not your first language. I thank you for trying. I appreciate it. And then his officer ability is Wayun increases weapons shot by 76% at the start of each round for 2 rounds when fighting players if on an explorer with morale. So Wayun's kind of like Dukat and La'an. But 2 rounds? That's it? You only get two rounds? What the fuck?
I mean, I think we talked about it on one of the last ones, at least a couple podcasts ago, where we discussed the fact that there's none of the other two strike teams compare to the battleship strike team as far as abilities.
I think the explorer strike team was what the strike teams were supposed to be, but they're so freaking overpowering.
The battleship strike team, I did. When he had a PvP event, I went into I can't remember what ship I was fighting. It was a bit bigger of a ship, but I mean, by round 6 or 7 or something like that, it only lasted like 7 or 8 rounds. But by that round, I mean, it was like 50 shots a round or something, just astronomically ridiculous.
Yeah. So most fights don't last more than like 7 or 8 rounds anyway. I guess that's what Scopely might be thinking with Ayun as a morale officer, that you only apply combat for 8 rounds, whereas Dukat is 20% chance of applying hull breach for the duration of combat. Like, what? You mean I can get hull breach through the rest of combat if I hit it round one, especially if I have synergy?
I think if you use Wayun in the side chair and then use TOS Kirk in the center with maybe Uhura on the side.
Uhura is kind of like pawn, like a strike team Una version of, or like a budget strike team Una version of pawn. If you can follow that logic, good on you.
Yeah.
And who is the third officer? Jim Hadar.
Icky Taco.
I got 25 shards of that guy. Let's see. His captain's ability increases all mitigation stats by 20% for 1 round. Every round when fighting players, if on an explorer. Then his officer ability increases weapons damage by 53% at the start of each round for 3 rounds when fighting players, if on an explorer with morale. That's better, at least.
I just want to know the justification for having three strike team officers, three strike team crews, and one of them has vastly superior abilities than the other.
Uncle Scopely, they realize they made a mistake making it too strong, and instead of changing it, they just fix the new ones they come up with.
No.
Well, I don't have Wayun. Duke, can you do me a favor and put on a ship Wayun as captain and pawn on the side and see what the percent synergy is?
60%.
60%.
So you'll get the other 40 then from the third officer.
You get another 60 then, right? Because if it's 60 on one side, it's 60.
I'm showing 60% right now.
Okay, so where's my way in here? So you start with 20%. So 60% plus another 60% means you get 140% chance to apply morale for 8 rounds. So it's auto-apply, effectively, morale for 8 rounds. And then you use 76% weapon shots, basically through the functionality of morale, unless it resets every 2 rounds. You have 56% chance of crit chance reduction, and then you have 53% increase in weapons damage.
So what is the morale? How does it proc?
It procs in with Wayun.
Should proc at the start of the round.
Should proc at the start.
So wait a minute, it's a 60% chance to cause morale?
With only 2 out of 3, with all three officers, you'll get it either at 100 or above 100%. So you'll guarantee morale through the entire fight.
I made that incorrect. So it's 20% by himself, either side, you get 40 and 40, so it's 100%. So you proc morale at the start of combat for 8 rounds, effectively.
Okay, all right. I was going to say, because La'an's is every time your ship hits with a weapon. So, I mean, you're pretty much just guaranteed burning, almost. I can't think of a single battle log I looked at where the opponent's ship wasn't burning by the end of round one.
While on a battle, so La'an is, while on a battleship fighting a burning player ship at the start of each round, Strike Team La'an increases the number of weapons, number of shots per weapon by 10%. And then her officer ability is, while on a battleship fighting a player each time your ship hits with a weapon, Strike Team On has a 60% chance of burning it for 3 rounds. Now, the more weapon shots you hit, like, yeah, by the end of round one.
Yeah, it's guaranteed burning throughout the entirety of the match.
And I think Pawn's off, or Captain's ability, I know it says only 10%, but I'm betting that with synergy on both sides, that will get either up to 100% or close to it to delay your opponent for 3 rounds. And that may be a good way to fight off, or at least reduce, the mining auto defenses that don't allow you to fire a shot for 8 rounds. You can at least cut that down to 5.
Do me a favor. Switch Pawn and Weiyun. What does it say? How many percent chance you get? He's not even paying attention. He's like, fuck you guys. Our Holy Fighter says
25%.
Max synergy is lower than 50. So you get 25%?
25%.
All right, so that means you get another 15% if you're doing, so 30 plus 10, 40. So you can have a max of 40%.
Yuck.
That's awful.
Poopy.
That is awful. So Explorer Strike Team, fun. By the way, I gotta say, I haven't, again, server 34, you don't really need to blow up miners, but I haven't encountered a miner with those automated defenses yet. Are they strong? Like, I don't know. How do those work?
Supposedly they're pretty strong, but our server doesn't really use them, just because our 34 is just a bunch of wussies and we don't hit each other on.
I went up against a T4 and Terry's. I think it was like maybe, I want to say 600K in power. And I was using, I had to go with my T6 auger and hit it twice.
I used a D4. I have a max D4 and it jacked up the D4. I was able to kill it, but I was kind of surprised how effective it was.
So it's not a game breaker, but it does help.
No, but you can't. Yeah, you definitely can't go with another miner to hit it. That's for sure.
Yeah, you need a warship.
Unless you're coming in with a Nova or something, and then maybe it might.
If you have a G4, you shouldn't have any problems. But I was just testing it out with a D4, and it jacked up the D4 pretty bad. So, and I was running Hull Breach on it, and I was kind of surprised at what it did.
Yeah, because you delay what, 8 rounds? 8 rounds of firing, and it increases your increases the attack of the miner by what, 400%?
Yeah, something like that.
Let me check here. Oh, there's 2 places you can get these abilities now. Wrong one. On the D4 instead of the Antares. Okay, it says automated defenses. When a player attacks you on a mining node, your combat officer abilities are negated, negative 100% to all your officers, but you get 5,000% base damage increase, plus 3 shots for the whole of combat, and delay enemy weapons fire for 8 rounds. So that's pretty significant. It turns your miner on a node into a freaking warship.
Now, do the orb splinters, you have to activate it every time you go out and mine, or... Because I don't have it.
I think it's auto activated. It's kind of like a skin.
Oh, okay.
No, those orb things are what you need. You have to spend them to activate it for 4 hours. It's not automatic.
It's not? Well, fuck that.
Yeah, you get it for four. I do believe it's either 3 or 4 hours. I don't remember. I'd have to go back to the messages. I was talking to the guy that I was battling with, because he was like, yeah, come back and hit it. Test it out. Let's test it out. So, and he definitely said, yeah, I had to spend the whatever thing each time he sends it out.
That is fucking useless.
If it was for like 8 hours, I could see that, but 4 hours is like too short.
But you do get for free every week. You get, I think he said, you get like 6 activations or 7.
But still, it should be auto active like any other skin.
Honestly, to me, it seemed like a waste to even attempt to even get it for any of my miners, or I don't even mess with it.
Yeah, I mean, if like whatever, it's a fucking mining node. If you're that worried to protect your fucking miners, good God.
If they would at least just turn off the icon to not show it to everybody, so that it is a surprise when you attack them, then it would be worth it.
Yes. Yeah. Very good point. That's right. I forgot. Does it glow or something? Or
there... No. It's just it's a white icon that looks like you've been buffed, except it's a different geometric shape.
Oh. Okay. Gotcha. Yes. You're right. That is dumb. At least make it be a surprise for sure. I wholeheartedly agree.
You could sit there cloaked and scan. Okay, hit this guy, but not that guy.
And that's another thing. Like, if you want to be stealthy and cloak and hit a target, like, really?
There's a lot of folks on our server that cloak to kill a miner.
That's ridiculous.
I don't see the point in it. I guess they want to hide so they don't run.
Only thing I could see that the benefit of a cloak is that you get extra percentage points to your damage based on the research that you do. That's about it. Otherwise, like, cloaking to protect who you are. I mean, there's every once in a while I get a guy from Dark hit my base, you know, who's cloaked, whatever, and I'm just like, you're a level 57. Why do you need to cloak to hit my base? I'm 13 fucking levels. No, I'm sorry. I'm 16 fucking levels lower than you. Why in the fuck?
At that point, it's habit. It has to be.
I get cloaking thing if you're using like Sela as an officer to bump up your cloaking stats because you want to attack somebody that's, you know, raiding a friend of yours or something. They're a higher level ship, but I mean,
now that I have my amalgam cloak, I use it to go into the token space, the Borg fast node mining nodes to pick up OPC just in case somebody's watching their miner.
Oh yeah, I've seen that. That's happened to me. People got ISO off of me with the cloaked amalgam,
and it completes one of my dailies. So
that's right. Because I'm sorry, I'm getting all these crazy notifications about a guy from Dark who's a fake Overlord Corona saying he's declaring war and going around dry hitting people. I'm like, like my Discord's blown up saying he is not Dark. Dark has an A over the tick mark. This is a fake Dark.
I love it.
It's just like,
although I love the Dark's attention and not Nona for a change.
Oh yeah, sure. It's funny. I was just like, wow, I've gotten like 4 announcements. What's going on?
Who's Nona?
Exactly.
We fade into the background like jazz music. What else we got going on, man? I gotta go buy a fucking Christmas tree today.
Sounds like fun. So most people do it after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's generally the thing. You get the weirdos that put up their Christmas trees in like fucking September or something, but
that's the accepted time to do it. Is
yeah, yeah. Oh, a huge tradition for a lot of people is like, you know, like the next day, the day after Thanksgiving or whatever, you put up the tree and decorate it and shit.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, the weekend after Thanksgiving was always a decoration weekend for me at when I was growing up.
I like getting real trees. I mean, they're getting more and more expensive, but like, there's just something about, you know, walking through your house during December and smelling like pine needles and shit that you just don't get from smelling manufactured plastic.
No, that real trees are definitely...
I mean, don't get me wrong. They are more of a pain in the ass. You do have to spend the money every year and everything like that, but it's just...
Well, it's just the mess, dude.
I think we can all agree as adults, for us, a lot of that for lack of a better term, the magic, right, about like Christmas kind of goes away when you're the one that has to make it happen. So at this point, if I got to spend $60 or $70 or whatever to at least be able to kind of retain a little bit of that happiness from like my childhood and shit like that, then I'll do it.
Yeah, we usually just put up a fake tree. We do it probably like a week before.
Because you're a communist.
Tree spray, some pine saw. There you go.
Pine saw. Get the fuck out of here.
When I lived in the Soviet Union, Christmas wasn't a huge holiday, if at all, but New Year's was. And you'd put up a tree for New Year's. And so when we first moved to the United States, people would throw out their Christmas trees, like, you know, the day after Christmas, right? So you could always, like, just find a tree and just bring it.
And they thought you were hauling it away.
Jesus.
We never, like, really paid for a tree for the first couple of years because people just, like, and, like, these people would throw out these massive trees, you know? They'd go to the lots, you know, we'd see all the lots that would be set up to sell the trees, and then all of a sudden, you know, people buy these massive trees and then just, like, throw them out the day after Christmas, you know, or, you know, the day after that if it was, like, a weekend or a work day or something, right? And so we would just grab one, pick, you know, bring it back to the house or the apartment where we lived in and, like, set it up, put all the ornaments and celebrate a New Year's. And we threw it out after, you know, like, a week or so.
Great.
Those are fun times. But, yeah, I'm not excited about trees. And the one thing that we do every year is we get our holiday pictures taken. And so we basically get a new ornament every year with our family, and we could see the progression. You know, it's like, hey, here's 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022, it's, you know, and so on and so forth.
So you don't have cats then?
I do not have cats. I did foster a lot of kittens, though. I must have fostered at least like 100 to 200 kittens.
So I put up a picture of our neighbor's tree from last year that is still currently sitting outside of their house.
Kind of red now.
Yeah, it's a little dead. A little dead.
It's a ginger. That's not dead. That's just a ginger tree. That's just a ginger tree, man. Jesus.
I was going to ask you, SD or SK, being in Florida, what is your, like, do you have, like, tree farms where you can go out and cut them, or are they all imported from somewhere else?
Most of it's imported, right? Like, unless you want a fucking palm tree, right? but, no, I mean, it's not like, a friend of mine asked me this a few weeks ago. He said something about getting that. He's like, well, you know, everybody down there has to have a fake tree. I'm like, what are you talking about? And I was like, there's plenty of tree lots and shit like that. You can go, and there's some really good trees. Not really any different than from when I was, like, back home or, you know, from anywhere else, really. I mean, it's just, yeah, I mean, you're not going to go out and cut down your own fucking Christmas tree, but it's, for one, I live in a major metropolitan area, so there's that. But, I mean, they're definitely readily available. I mean, like, just within probably 5 miles of my house at any given time in, like, November, December, there's probably about 10 to 15 Christmas tree lots. So they're definitely readily available, but and the cool thing is where I live is they actually have specifically a day each year for Christmas tree pickup. And I think it's like usually like January 4th or something like that.
Swerve to a completely different tangent. At the beginning of the year, it's always tough writing the new date, new year on the date.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I used to fuck that up.
My work has recently in the last year switched, and I don't know why, but it's academia, so who knows. But now all of our things that we are dating and everything that we put in with dates have to be put in the Euro way with the day first and then the month. And that has been screwing me up all year.
Well, I mean, most of the rest of the world does that. So
the way we do it is at my business, we write the day, then you write the dash, and you write the three letter month, and you write dash, and then you write the year.
It makes sense. I mean, there's a lot of places that'll put the year first.
So like for example, today's date, because we're recording on the 27th of November, we write 27-NOV-22. That removes any and all confusion about what the date was, whether it's European or, you know, American or whatever.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're right how you talk, right? So we always say, you know, when's your birthday? Oh, the 4th of November. So, you know, it makes sense that it would be like that. So anyway,
let's re-swerve back to Star Trek here. I've been very bad. I haven't watched Prodigy and I haven't finished Lower Decks. So
I have to do Prodigy.
What is Prodigy?
The Nickelodeon one.
Oh, okay.
It's actually pretty decent. I mean, it's clearly a kid show, right? But it's still pretty good.
I think I'll just wait until the season's done and probably just binge it.
Is Prodigy live action or animation?
No, it's animation.
CGI animation.
It's enjoyable. I mean, like I said, it's not going to be anything kind of like, you know, the live action or even like, you know, Lower Decks with a lot of the adult humor and Birdman, you know, face fucking exocomps, but it's still pretty enjoyable.
I forgot about that episode. Oh, I need to rewatch that. That was such a ridiculous episode.
I don't ever want to watch that episode again in my life.
The last season of Picard kind of just like really soured my taste on where the franchise is going.
You talking about season two or season one?
Two. So
I had to sit through all these episodes of bullshit and virtue signaling to finally get to that last 10 minutes that was good.
It was 10 minutes that was good about Q dying and all?
Yeah. I mean, it just having to, you have to suffer through it. A friend of mine was trying to watch it and was like, he was just like me. He got to the part where they were like, oh my God, it's immigration. They're the big bad guys. And I was like, oh fuck. He was like, dude, I'm fucking, this is ridiculous. And I said, I know, I get it, but just deal with it and push through. I was like, cause I promise once you get to that like 10 minutes, I was like, it's good. And he was like, can I just watch the last 10 minutes? I was like, yeah, but you're not, like there are a lot of things that you're going to miss in the show, so you kind of need to see those. But yeah, so I mean the last little bit, it's cool. That part was written very well, sort of the neat wrap up, and it was done really well. I enjoyed it, but the rest of it is trash.
You mean where you had to sit through the Borg assimilating Agnes through a USB port?
At this point, they just need to rename all of their new stuff, you know, Star Trek and the Quest for More Money.
Star Trek, we retired the good writers.
Their target audience is that sort of, you know, like, you know, 16 to 18 to like 27, 28, no kid having audience that sits online and virtue signals all day. I mean, that's just pretty much that's pretty much their target audience at this point, it feels like. And it's ruined for pretty much most, you know, the older Trek generation, of course, and then even sort of people in our generation, people like in their 30s and 40s, it's ruined for them as well. And then, I mean, I had a friend of mine, we were talking about, I was talking to he and his husband the other day, and we were discussing Discovery, and he said, you know, like the blatant like tokenism and things like that in Discovery, he was like, it's so phony. He said, it's just so fucking phony. And I said, exactly. I said, that's my problem with it, but I digress.
Well, it's also kind of like just redoing the history of it and almost kind of like trying to whitewash history in a way in the real world.
Which history?
From the original series on up, I would say to, what, the end of DS9, Voyager, just changing a lot of the things. I mean, like Strange New Worlds. I mean, they basically redid the Romulan episode, was it that Balance of Terror, where... You know, yeah, they took some lines out of the original series and, you know, and put in there. But Kirk is on a freighter, and now it's Pike, the one that's chasing the cloaked Romulan ship. And, you know, oh, well, we know what the Romulans look like. So, you know, because we all have view screens. But, I mean, took a lot of the history and the mystery, you know, some of the mystery out of it.
Well, I think the point of that episode was to show that, okay, it reveals two problems. One is Pike knows what's going to happen to him because of Discovery season two. And then two, it's like, what happens if he changes history? And that's what happened if he when he changed history, right? Or it was kind of a what if scenario. That's the problem with the what if scenarios when your character knows his fate. That it's going to be worse than before. And it was because his war started, or his Balance of Terror episode started a war between the Romulans and the Federation, which the Federation was ill-equipped to win. That was that episode, which part of it was kind of cool, but also the creative license with it was took an odd turn at some points. Picard thing, where they completely changed history, that is more of a head scratcher than the what if scenarios, right? Because of like Picard going back in time, re-meeting Guinan, she doesn't know who he is, and then Agnes being assimilated way back in the past, and now she's the Borg queen in the future. All the other Borg shit already went down, and then Rios was in the future, but now he's in the past. Like, that is really fucks with a lot of the canon and timeline stuff that, you know, people are accustomed to if you follow it all the way through.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I just think they did do too much meddling in areas that, you know, change around the history quite a bit on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, like Discovery, the first episodes of Discovery, first two episodes where they start a war with the Klingons. That never really happened.
Yeah, and then they turn around and say, oh, well, this is actually a different timeline. But they keep tying it to the original series, TNG, DS.
They admit it was a different timeline.
They kind of came out and said it in a roundabout way, but never really said yay or nay.
Because I remember what you're talking about. That was in a season 3 episode where they have a person that crossed over based on the Narada, and that's why the universes have been drifting apart for 500 years, and that's why people couldn't cross over. But I don't think they explicitly stated that they're in the Kelvin timeline or a third timeline to begin with. As far as I remember, they were still in the Prime timeline.
I think they hijacked a franchise for their own purpose, but that's me.
I think that's obvious. Anyway, it wasn't. The thing is, it wasn't so much a hijacking. It's more of a let's follow what other franchises have done. Like, look at Star Wars, for example, right? Star Wars has branched off and made a whole bunch of, you know, other movies and other series and like toy lines and all this other shit, right? So when, you know, CBS Paramount got together and like, hey, we only have these movies, you know, these three movies to show for like this enormity of this franchise. And how do we convert these old fans who still watch these reruns into money? And so now you hired, you know, Alex Kurtzman to like, all right, do the same thing you did for Star Wars. You know, it's like, all right, here's one series, here's another series, and a third series, and a fourth series, and a fifth series. And I'm going to hire well-renowned novelists and writers who knew nothing about Star Trek to begin with. To take their own styles and write these new shows for a contemporary audience. And that's effectively what happened. And, you know, for better or worse, they're basically M. Night Shyamalan-ing it, right? Now they're making money hand over fist. The shows are making a bunch of money. And you know, it's and everybody else is like, I see dead people. I see them twos. But you know what? Without that, we wouldn't have gotten Lower Decks, which is a great show. We wouldn't have gotten Strange New Worlds, for all its faults, still a great show. We wouldn't have gotten Prodigy, which, you know, for all intents and purposes, still a good show. You know, we just have to live with Discovery and Picard, I guess. Picard seasons 1 and 2. And I hope season 3 of Picard will be better. That's all I can hope for.
Here's the hoping.
I mean, why do you think that the Orville got such an enormous welcoming response from old Star Trek fans? know, because they took the formula from the Next Generation and applied it to, you know, modern day with beautiful CGI and actual character development with an overarching plot. You know, that's why people are attracted.
Oh, yeah.
I think the third season or whatever the most recent season of Orville was probably the best Star Trek / space exploration show series that's ever been done. That third season is amazing.
I have to binge watch it. I've seen the first season and some of the second. I got to catch up on it.
The third definitely is amazing. Don't get me wrong. Bar none. I remember when the finale it was airing, I like called Boom and I'm like, Boom, you gotta watch this, dude. This the way they wrote it was amazing. But hey Kirk, I think that's where Lower Decks got the whole Birdman fucking the exocomp idea.
What's that?
Well, it was Isaac and Claire getting married.
Yeah, I'm sort of upset that I brought up that episode because now hear about it. I don't regret many things that I've said, but that definitely is top tier on the list of shit that I wish I would not have mentioned.
But it's so funny. It reminds me of anybody ever watched the movie AI?
Really? 4,235 ISO emulsion is a gift? Go fuck yourself. Yeah, it's been a while.
It was like a Steven Spielberg film way back in the late 2000s, I think. And it
with the boy?
With the boy, that's right. And you know, like mechas were around and whatnot, and his was it like a Pinocchio kind of storyline where his quest is to become a real boy, or he was way too realistic?
He was way too realistic, I think, if I remember right.
Yeah, but it was like there were mechas, and the main purpose for these mechas were to be prostitutes. And, you know, that's kind of where we're headed.
Hey, Kirk, you were talking about the emulsion. Was that a gift today?
I mean, if that's what you want to call it.
Gift number two.
Gift number two, 4,300 isoemulsion. Unbelievable.
You know what? I think what it was is they fucked up because when they put out the apology and they gave us all the tokens for the daily chests, it was supposed to be 4 days, but instead we got 40. So I think they're making up for it.
You know, I thought so too, but I have heard everything coming out of Scopely that was as intended. Like, they wanted to do 40, and it was the typo the other way. They forgot the zero.
Yeah, that's not, I guarantee you, that's not what happened at all. No, it is bullshit. It is bullshit because it was 4 days, and then they did it, and they probably got such an overwhelming amount of appreciation. They were like, "No, just leave it. Just leave it. They like us right now. Oh my god, this has never happened. Just leave it." So yeah, they're full of shit. They absolutely did not intend to do that because, like we were discussing in the PMs a few days ago, that's like what, $60 worth of shit for free.
Yeah.
So you know, that's absolute. That's hogwash, sir.
I listened to Echo, and I can't remember which person's show it was on, but he went through a convoluted. He was like, no, no, really, it's supposed to be 40, and here's why. We wanted to make it as big as possible, but we also wanted to make sure that people who had already bought it that could also claim all of the ones that we were going to give them for free. And he's like, since the timeline is like 70 days or something like that, and they had 30, we gave them another 40 so that they could pull it all 70 days. And I'm like, that just doesn't seem right at all in any aspect.
You know what the bitch of it is it could be true, but we're so used to them being so full of shit that they have to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt for us to believe anything.
Like, they almost have to like produce like the time-stamped email from Scopely HQ to whoever made the announcement that shows that it was 40 and that it was actually a typo to 4, right?
Nah. I want department heads to take polygraphs.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, and a voice stress test.
Voice stress.
But anyway, what else we got? I got shit to do.
Ouch. This is what we're doing, man. This is the show. This, you got to do this every Sunday.
We haven't been talking about shit since Wei Yun. Let's be real.
What are you talking about? We were just talking about the gifts that were issued.
Okay, that was a nice minute and a half. What else we got?
What do you think coming out in December, Ark?
I hope the Christmas thing is a lot better than this Thanksgiving shit or whatever it was. Remember when they used to do little event stores around the holidays?
Yes. Please bring
back. Here's a frame. Here's a picture of a turkey.
Please bring back the event stores. I want to buy some stuff with whatever credits they give you.
Yeah. I don't know. It's I am curious to see what the hell they're going to do in December, because isn't this the third arc of DS9? Should be the last one.
Yes.
Yeah, this next one will be the fourth one.
So, I don't know. Is there going to be another DS9 arc?
Yeah, they announced that in September. It's a four-month arc.
That's a four-month arc, then.
Jadzia, Dax, Bashir, and Odo, I would assume, are all going to be officers, but...
I would hope, but, I mean, they're missing Nog. They're missing quite a few of the characters.
But what would they... What would they bring to the table?
Some new garbage mechanic that's going to piss me off.
Nog and Rom would be great below deck officers.
I have a Rom. He's used for base cracking.
No, that's true. Nog played a big role in DS9. Be a great below deck officer.
It's true. There's so many officers now. It's like you have so many different combinations of PvP to work with. And they should just really introduce a new faction. I know DJ said this before, but like, why doesn't, I'm in Dominion space, why doesn't that count towards my dailies, where I can't just defeat Jem Hadar hostiles and it counts towards my dailies?
Certainly should. The game's gotten so grindy that I don't even want to play.
But yeah, like the Actian hostiles? Jesus fucking Christ.
No, that's fucking worse. They need to fix that so bad.
Server 34 got their 40 epics back.
I guess you complained enough.
I don't know what it was, man, but it must have been something, because fucking A, man. No, we didn't have it for 3 months. No 40 epics in Lindstrom. All of a sudden, now they spawn every minute.
Well, they fixed it.
Taking it for lost time, I guess.
Yeah.
That's actually been great, because then I could scrap another Stella and start doing more research. Good Lord. Anybody try to log into the game? It won't let me log in. It'll just booting me off.
Yeah. I logged in just to check the events and a few of the things. But anyway, all right. I'm going to get out of here. I got some stuff I got to do, so.
Have a good day, SK.
Well, there you go.
All right, what else we got? Anybody else? Anybody else got anything?
I'm tired of this game already.
I would be tired of it and left a long time ago. It's just, you grind and don't get anything. I've played other games and you do the work and you actually get something to benefit you. And this one, I mean, the grind is not even really beneficial.
I mean,
I'm just tired of the time investment that's required of you in order to keep up with all this new shit they've come out with. That's my main gripe. As they've brought out too much garbage, it is annoying.
There are too many loops, and you're right. There's a lot of loops, right? There's the rogue loop. I mean, the first loop was the augment loop. And you can basically finish that loop in maybe a couple months. The outlaw loop is very tiresome, and like I said, a lot of people had that loop stunted on our server because there was no 40 epics. Now that there are, we can definitely go ahead and, you know, scrap Stellas and, you know, does anybody remember, spreadsheet nerds, how many articles you need to fully upgrade?
No, but I noticed that in the Bajoran store, you know, as you level up Bajoran rep, you can decrease the parts for the Stella, so you can actually scrap more often.
Yes, there. Let's see, there was that favor. Let me look that up, because I remember seeing it. I haven't gotten it yet.
I don't have it, because I've already maxed Outlaw, and I scrap the Stella on occasion. It's more like of a side thing that I do now for G4 parts, but, I mean, if you have a G5 ship, there's I mean, you're getting G4 parts anyway.
That's right. Outlaw's advantage. Increase the cost efficiency of uranium for Stella ship components. Level 5 is 50% bonus. Jeez. I'm only at 10%. That's true. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, it takes about 17 million particles to fully max your research in Stella territory.
It's something like that, yeah.
So you get, just grab some, and you get about 450,000 per scrap, roughly about 500,000. So you need to scrap about 34 Stellas, do all your max research, right? 17 divided by 450,000. Sorry, 38 Stellas. You scrap 38 Stellas to get all your particles that you need. Quite a bit of Stella. But I mean, if you're a high enough player, yeah, you could just keep on going because you get more loot for every armada you kill. But yeah, that loop is, for a lot of higher level players, that loop is more or less complete. Right. So now we have the Cardassian armada loop
I'm solo armadas
for the starbase, right? And then you have your solo armadas, your Dominion Bajoran loop for the Bajoran favors.
It's just too much.
Yeah, in my opinion, the only two armadas that people should really focus on are the Cardassian ones and the Dominion solo armadas, and
the rest are worthless.
Yeah,
maybe Eclipse if you haven't done it, but otherwise,
well, Eclipse uses different tokens, right?
Yeah, but I think you're saying more along the along the lines of time management, right?
Right. So again, being a lower level,
not resource management,
being a lower level player. Or a cheap to play, or a budget to play, whatever you want to call it, behooves me to start deeper space armadas, so that if I get enough power, I get that starter chest.
If you win,
well, I mean there's a fair bit of planning to do that.
And it's beneficial in that way. I mean, I help out guys, not so much from myself, but I bring the Vorcha and set it in a level 51. So whoever wants to start it gets their starter chest and all that. But the Cardassian armadas, they don't pay out as much as the deep space ones. But, I mean, you're still going to collect. And I think in the long run, you get more bang for your buck because your star base is getting built.
There's a fair bit. Like, for example, I don't know where the epics are in deep space. So I start the epics in Cardassian space, and I don't get as much, but I get a bunch of that loot, so I can refine it further. I'm assuming everybody here has maxed out their alliance rep, unless you switch alliances.
Yeah, I am close. I'm at 8.9.
I maxed it about a month ago, and that's because at the time we were short on speed ups, so I started refining three a day of each for the speed ups.
Yeah, that's what I was doing for a while.
So now that it's slowed down and we have one of the most advanced star bases, it's like, okay, open up the nodes so we can do the research. But I think you have to get to a certain star base level before they open up, I think. Assembly chambers, 25. Yeah, we're not even close.
The solar armadas give you the Tetrions, the Irvinite. Well, I got so much jump juice now. That's side product for me anymore. Tritanium, which I need.
At least Solar Armada pays out. What level are you again?
I'm 56, but it pays out Irvinite, Tetrions, and Mycelium, or the jump, cultivated Mycelium for jump.
Yeah, I don't have that in my mind. I just have diplomacy tokens, Bajoran credits, Solar Armada's officers, and then parts.
I'm talking the Armada pack, the Solar Armada pack.
Oh, the packs that you buy, fuck.
Yeah, if I'm gonna drop money, I only drop money on certain packs because I, You know, the only thing I really went balls to the wall on was the battleship strike team, and I'm glad I did. But every now and then, I mean, the packs that I buy are like a Syndicate pack, the Solo Armada pack.
You're right.
Every now and
then,
a specialty pack that's paying out some decent amount of resources for me.
So at my level, I'm getting 124K. If I do the Solo Elite Armada Elite Pack, 124K lat, 500 epic solos, 800 rare solos, 300 uncommon, 425 Tetrions, 22,500 Urbanite, 950 Trite, and then the same in tokens, you know, a little more, and then a bunch of speed ups. Sorry, speed repair speed ups.
My suggestion on the Solo Armada packs, don't buy the Elite Pack. Like for every Elite Pack that you buy, I would, you know, like buy three or four the regular packs, because you're going to build up in your pulls the rare Armada directives from your uncommon
pulls. Did you just buy the regular uncommon one where you get 2,000 uncommons?
Yes.
Okay.
Once in a great while, I'll buy the Elite. It's the regular Armada one, and I'll go through and do all the UCs I can do, and I'll do my pulls, and then I'll get rare Armada credits and build them up, and then I'll do the rare Armadas, and then I'll pull and from the rare Armadas to get the epic Armada, and just go with it that way. That's the cheaper route. I mean, because the Elite Pack, you get one epic pull or epic directive. And I'm like, that's a waste. I mean, they should give you like at least three epic, you know.
Get one epic, four rares, and three uncommons, as opposed to getting 20 uncommons from the other pack. Then you can refine up to,
yeah,
you can refine a lot more, actually. A lot more rare Armadas out of them.
Yeah, because there's times I get like 175 directives, sometimes 150, and they'll build up just going by with the uncommon. And focus on the increased Dominion loot in the favors. Another pack that I buy when it comes out is the Bajoran pack, and I do it because of the Bajoran credits. And because it has Dill in it. So,
but he's always short on Dill.
I focus a lot on research, and like my Dill reserves are like super low.
What's low at your level?
I need like 20 billion just to do, you know, researches in the combat tree, station tree, in galaxy, you know, galaxy. So anywhere from 15 to 20 billion minimum.
Gotcha.
And I haven't been doing any research outside of territory, away team, and the star base, because it's all cheap on Dill. And then the starship tree when I do have research. And that's just because I keep the Dill in reserve for repairing the Vorcha. And I want to build a Sompec, but you know, I'm on a budget, so I have to like project things out and save up Dill, because it's going to cost, just to build it, I think 13 billion just to build it, not to mention what the components at each tier are going to cost. And I got two components left on the Vorcha, and that's about 30 and 40 Dill just to build those components on the Vorcha. Yeah, I only go for certain specialty packs that pay out quite a bit. And the only pack that I really buy on a regular basis is the ship pack. And that's just because of the Tritanium and the ship parts.
All right, gang. You guys got anything else? Could wrap it up here.
No, that's pretty much it. Sorry, I'm not too talkative today.
That's okay. I'm talking enough for all of us. All righty. Duke, Putz, thanks for coming on. Appreciate everybody else listening. This has been helpful. Buy solo regular Armada packs. Don't buy the elite ones.
Yeah, the solo ones, is the best route to go. The elite ones don't really have enough in it.
Okay. It's for all you spenders out there, and Putz will be like, I'm gonna look at my spreadsheet and shit. Do my nerd math. All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening. I appreciate the time. I'm sure next week we'll talk about more various shenanigans, and we'll swerve into other tangents, and maybe we'll talk about other games. Who knows? It's Trek Talk. Anything goes here. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Please like, subscribe, comment, do all the things social media asks you to do. Again, always, thanks for listening. I'm TechMan16.
I'm Andy.
For Boom and SK. See you guys next time.
Are LARPing.
They're LARPing, but they're LARPing. We'll see them next time.